Welcome. You're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. And be sure to visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources, including this podcast. So be sure to send us your comments or questions to podcast at MediaTalk101.org. Once again, that's podcast at MediaTalk101.org. I'd love to hear from you. Not only your questions, but your comments. And this podcast is somewhat of an experiment this year for Media Talk 101. And so we're committed to doing this once a week for at least 1 year. That would be 52 episodes. But at the end of the year, if we don't hear back from people and it doesn't seem like this is very helpful, then certainly we have other things we can do with our time. I know Rhett's a busy guy, and I know that I stay pretty busy myself. And so we're really just wanting to be a help. We don't want to add to the noise. There's a ton of information overload as it is. So, once again, if you want to reach us, send that email to podcast at mediatalk101.org. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and president. I'm here with my co-host, Rhett Simpkins. How you doing today, Rhett?
Very well.
Good, good. Well, why don't you explain once again to our audience what we're doing today?
Okay. Yeah, we're going to continue throughout the summer just doing Q&A. And so if anybody has any questions, be sure to send them to us. And we have been getting questions in. So this first question is kind of springboarding off of a similar concept that we left off with last week.
Okay.
And last week, you addressed a question about sharing media concerns with family and friends. And this week, the question is, how can I make good media choices when I'm with my non-Christian friends?
Oh, that is a great question. It is so tricky, you know, because I tell you what, if you begin to live differently and you begin to have some convictions, you know, and a conviction, one of the things I teach about a conviction is something you believe so strongly that it will guide your actions even when under pressure. Especially when under pressure. And, you know, so once, you know, someone challenged me on that definition, that's Philip Telfer's definition. You know, that's not the one you're going to get out of a dictionary, but that's Philip Telfer's definition of a conviction. Something you believe so strongly that it will guide your actions even when under pressure. Someone once challenged me on that and said, well, that can't really be a conviction because you could believe things that are wrong. And I said, well, that's true. You can believe things that are wrong, but it's still a conviction. Mm-hmm. You know, there are other people with different beliefs and they have strong convictions. Mm-hmm. And they believe things so strongly that it guides their actions even when under pressure. So certainly conviction needs to be combined with truth. And that truth, of course, comes from God's Word through His Holy Spirit, through the character of Jesus Christ being lived out in us through the work of His Holy Spirit. So certainly when I'm talking about convictions, I don't want to remove those from being grounded. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, no foundation can anyone lay other than that which has already been laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we start with that foundation. And that's, I've been teaching this for years, that when Hebrews says to lay aside the weight and the sin, which so easily ensnares, talking about the race that we're running, this analogy, the goal is not laying aside that weight and that sin. That goal is, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, as we run this race. So we have to start with the right goal, the right perspective. And so when it comes to living differently in this world, and when it comes to media choices, with non-Christian friends, it could be Christian friends. Mm-hmm. it could be Christian people who don't have convictions. And you know, once again, it would be one thing to say, well, I've got these convictions that are just based on certain cultural nuances, or you know, they have no basis in the Bible, and that would be, you know, can get into legalism. But when you're saying, look, I'm learning from God's Word that there are certain things that God doesn't really want in my life. And there are certain things He wants me to have in my life. And I need to grow in those areas. It says that solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern between what's good and evil. And so we need to be training our senses to discern. So, and as you do that, you're going to begin to realize that there are a lot of things that really are not healthy spiritually for you to be consuming. And as you begin to navigate through that, you're going to encounter friends and family who are going to think you're weird. They're going to think you're on some you're some religious fanatic. They're going to think you're trying to be Mr. or Mrs. Goody Two-Shoes. You know, they're going to come up with all sorts of things. I've experienced this for over 20 years of my life, so I know. Mm-hmm. And but once again, I'm not trying to evade the question. How do you do it? Well, last week I talked about being gracious when talking with people about media. And I would say the same thing when it comes to being around people, that you need to be very gracious. You need to understand that what they need, especially if they're non-Christian people, what they need more than even good media choices is they need to meet Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, this is can be symptomatic and problematic. You know, media can be, the media choices can be a symptom of a heart that's just lost, you know, and so a corrupt heart, a heart without Christ, is going to gravitate towards corrupt things. And so that's a symptom. The problem, though, is that a lot of this media is actually distracting that person who needs the answer, you know, that needs to find hope in Jesus Christ. They're being blinded by it. It becomes a device of the enemy. It becomes a ploy, you know, to keep a veil over the eyes, to keep people in darkness from seeing the light. So now, you know, media can become part of this battleground for reaching people with trying to reach them with the gospel, you know. But if they're not willing to listen, or they've become so numb to sin and things like that, it can be an issue. So, but let's give a scenario here. So you're invited over to someone's home. They're not a Christian, and they pop in a movie. It's rated R. It's terrible. What do you do? Mm-hmm. You find yourself, it might even be a family member. You're in this awkward position. Well, once again, the first thing is to be gracious. But there's nothing wrong with being firm. And I would say graciously start by asking, do you mind if we do something else? Mm-hmm. Rather than this, how about we play a game? You know, you gotta watch a movie anytime. Let's do something, you know. So it's kind of the a bait and switch, you know, or you know, diversion, you know, mm-hmm. divert from that media and say, hey, let's do something else, you know, that you can watch your movie anytime, but let's do something. Or you can suggest something else and you say, I'm just not. To be honest with you, I'm not real comfortable with watching this. And of course, if you see the defenses go up, you can try. It's not always possible to do this, but you can try to soften that by explaining to people what I was talking about in last week's episode. Explain to them, well, you know, you have this growing relationship with the Lord, and you're not trying to judge them or be critical of them. You're just trying to guard your own heart. And that explain that you believe that these things actually do affect your relationship with God, and they affect your heart and your mind, and these are things that you're trying to guard and protect. Now, there's no easy way around this. I've been in situations where I've been with friends that were Christians watching things on television that I thought were inappropriate, and there's sometimes just that temptation to not rock the boat, mm-hmm. and to sit there and I suppose it would depend on what the programming was and how much I thought I could endure without just, you know, getting sick and throwing up. But I remember being over at somebody's house once and they were watching CSI. You know, and this was years ago, but it was I don't know if it's a popular show today, but it was sure popular then, and people watched it religiously. And here are my Christian friends watching CSI religiously. And we were guests. And so, like, well, even though they were having us over for dinner, you know, hey, we got our show. We got to watch our show. And at the time, I thought, well, maybe I'll watch the show. It'll be insightful. You know, it's mm-hmm. I'm the media guy. I never see anything. I hear this is bad. I guess I'll find out. Well, let me tell you, I could not watch the show. Within a few minutes, I was so sick to my stomach. It was so horrible. I couldn't believe, I mean, I don't even want to say, I don't even want to speak what I was watching, witnessing. but it really broke my heart. And I thought, there's no way I can, and there was no way my friends were going to turn it off either, because they're addicted to it. So I just graciously excused myself from the room. And I just said, you know, I'm going to go, you know, read or take a walk or something. And what was interesting is that didn't even faze them. You know, we should have been more sensitive and we should have turned it off. No, they were just so glued to their program that they were more offended that I wasn't willing to participate with them. You know, that reminds me of a really important verse, and it's in 1 Peter chapter 4. And let me start by reading in verse 3. It says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." You know, and that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and the sad thing is as Peter is writing this to the church, he was actually talking about unbelievers. And what's worse is that if you see this kind of anger coming from believers, because you don't run with them in this same flood of what's called dissipation or wasting away, you know, just wasting time, wasting energy, doing things that are not helpful, you know, at the least, and harmful at the worst. So, you know, once again, I just want to encourage you that if you're in those situations, be gracious, but stand firm. You know, that if we can't stand firm now over issues like, are we going to participate in watching something inappropriate with unbelieving friends, even though we really don't want to, if we can't stand firm in that, then how are we going to stand firm in other trials that may come our way, mm-hmm. you know, that we might be facing in the future? So it's not easy. And I've personally had to live through a lot of these issues over the years of just kind of being the stick in the mud, mm-hmm. you know, the guy, oh, it's Philip, you know, it's like, and it's not that I'm an unlikable person. I think generally people like to be around me, but not if they're wanting to indulge in godless media. And it puts me in an awkward position, especially if they know, mm-hmm. you know, but if they don't know, then you can help them understand why you're living a little different. So, all right, what's the next question we have, Rhett?
Okay, what if you try to stop watching certain things and you can't because it became a part of you, but you really want to stop? What is the best way to stop?
Okay, well, if you can't stop and you want to, and even using this terminology, it's become a part of you, mm-hmm. that sounds like bondage to me.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds like some spiritual bondage. And we're not to be in bondage like this. And so Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off, cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye or one hand rather than be cast into hellfire with, you know, both. Mm-hmm. So certainly there are times where you know, spiritual growth requires some desperate measures. And if you are desperately wanting to be free from these things, then you need to cut it off. So it's not a matter of weaning yourself off. You cut it out. You just say, I'm going on a media fast. And sometimes I talk about toxic media, especially if it's toxic. You know, this is not something you should be fasting from. It's something you shouldn't be consuming in the first place. But whatever it is, if it's got a hold on you, then you have to let go of it. Now, you won't be able to do that just in your own strength. Certainly call upon the Lord for help. Ask Him and say, God, I want to be free from this. Would you please help me to be free? And I want not just to have this removed from my life. I want to fill my life with something better, with your Holy Spirit, with your righteousness. So certainly don't just leave a vacuum there. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you are, Jesus said that if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So it's not just a matter of, I want to be free from this bondage so that I can be quenched. It's that God has plans for you. He doesn't want just you to be quenched, you know, of your thirst. He wants your life to be overflowing with his Spirit that'll affect and reach out to others. Now, you can't do that if you're in bondage. You can't do that if you're chained and bound to things that are holding you back in your relationship with the Lord. So I would say if you find yourself in that position where you just can't break away, then you must break away. Then you must ask the Lord for strength, and you just cut it out of your life, and you won't regret it. And then you make sure that you're not just taking something out, but you're making sure that it's being replaced with something even better. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So that would be my recommendation.
Okay, and then another question is it wrong to have the news on constantly with war and violence going on if you have children?
Okay, well, children or not, you know, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. Definitely with children in the room, there should be a great concern about guarding their hearts and minds. So certainly I would agree with that you just have to be very, very careful with little children and what they're exposed to. But I think we need to be careful as adults what we're exposed to. And when it comes to news in particular, you know, news is not just news anymore. It's become part of entertainment. And there's actually some great, at least one chapter, if not more, with some great information in the book Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman. He talks about news and how when you have a couple things, you know, this information overload, all of a sudden everything becomes trivial. Mm-hmm. You also have it flip-flopping from some devastating war over here to, you know, the latest new, you know, furniture polish, you know, in the next thing, or some sort of superficial nonsense that's juxtapositioned to something that's really grievous. And it's done, you know, back to back and from, you know, going from clip to clip. And, you know, the news, it's become just another entertaining show for people. It's just that the news is the platform for their entertainment. Mm-hmm. And so I don't trust it. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't. And I haven't watched it. You know, I don't watch, once again, I don't watch television. I don't watch TV news. And it doesn't mean that I don't get news. Actually, I stay on top of news as much as I can because I think that can be important. But I don't trust television news anymore. And I haven't for years. And so they're always going to, you know, for one, they're always going to focus on what's going bad in the world. And there are a lot of bad things going on in the world. And because of this digital age, neither can we remain ignorant of these things. But the other challenge, I believe that Neil Postman brought this up, is many times we're confronted with these things and we really can't do anything about mm-hmm. it. You know, it really doesn't enter our sphere of life. Now, as Christians, and Neil Postman was not a Christian, very thoughtful man, but as Christians, we can pray, you know. So we certainly can know about the tumult going on in Egypt right now, and pray for them, and pray for the believers. We can know about you know, different things going on around the world, and we can use that as an opportunity to intercede. But as far as how it impacts us, you know, until it some of these things don't have a direct impact in us, and we just have to be careful about how much is coming at us, but also just the skew. You know, there's always going to be this, the news today, they're not just trying to present unbiased reporting. There's a bias to all news reporting today. And you just have to be careful. And they're going to focus on those things that are sensationalistic, those things that draw viewers in. And once again, it's going to go from a war over here, or ethnic cleansing over here, or some sort of political scandal over here, and the next thing you're going to see is, you know, some news spot that's just meant to tantalize people, you know, and just meant to pique their interest, or it might be sexual in nature or whatever, you know. It's just they have people that sit around and program these shows to make sure that they're getting an audience because they need to sell advertising. You know, mm-hmm. they need to sell products, they need to sell advertising, they need to you know, gain, you know, keep people's attention. And they're ruthless with it. So as far as news, I'm a big fan of being selective in the news. I've mentioned before in this podcast that I use the Google News you know, website, and because it just aggregates news. There's other ways that you can do this. I just happen to like that because it's, you can customize it and you can just browse the headlines and just get a synopsis of it. And you can really skip the nonsense and you can focus in on the important world news that's going on, the important news that's going on in our country. If you want to stay on top, it's one of the ways I kind of keep up with what's going on in the entertainment world. Since I don't watch anything, mm-hmm. I can just read some headlines and just kind of know this is kind of what's going on. So there are other ways to do that. You know, certainly newspapers. I think newspapers have also are struggling with trying to gain readership, so they're going to also try to be entertaining as well. But going back to this question, you know, with all this violence, with all this nonsense, and not using discretion, you know, there are things that are they show that's not appropriate, you know, and certainly not for young children. So I would say, you know, find some other outlet for news, and it'll actually save you some time too, because it doesn't take you that long to go through, and then you can focus on the things that are really important. So if you want to read more about the crisis and that's going on in this particular area of the world, you can search articles and try to find you know, something that's meaningful and will be helpful to you, rather than just be accosted with what they want to bombard you with to gain viewers. So what else do you have for us? We probably have time for one more question.
Okay, yeah, we do have one more question. Considering that prayer and Bible reading are the most important aspects of our Christian walk, how does the use or lack of use of media affect your personal prayer and Bible reading life? You have spoken about your Bible reading habits in the past, so it would be interesting to address prayer more specifically. I think most Christians know that their prayer life is not what it should be and want to hear more about how others pray, what they pray, when they pray, and how reducing our media consumption can have a direct impact on prayer life.
Yeah, that's a great question. And certainly we do have an emphasis on being in God's Word. And we also emphasize prayer. We actually have a prayer ministry that's a part of Media Talk 101. We believe very strongly in the power of prayer. We believe in prayer in this office here, mm-hmm. you know, as we pray, you know, as we begin our day. I pray daily with my family. And so certainly prayer is critical, because it's about communication. And you can't have a good relationship with anybody if there's no communication there. And so, and the better you get at communication, the closer you will get in relationships through communication. That's the tie right there. So part of why we need to be in God's Word so much is because this is God, one of the many ways that God is clearly communicating to us, and we need to make sure we're listening to Him. That's not the only way He can speak, but we did a whole couple series on that, on hearing God in a world full of noise. But when it comes to prayer, just like Bible reading, today there are so many distractions that eat up all of our time. And from the morning we get time we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed, and then the habits of people today are increasingly gravitating towards just more and more of their day being consumed with media, incoming media. And so the average, according to Nielsen ratings, the average person watches 4.7 hours of television each day. They spend about 2.5 hours on the internet each day. The average person spends about 1 hour playing video games each day. You know, you add all that up, plus, you know, you need to get some time to sleep, you have to eat, go to work, all of that. When I talk about this, I'll put up a chart on the PowerPoint, and it'll just show a 24-hour time period. And when you include that 8 hours that you should be getting some sleep, and the time that you're going to be working, and you add all the television time, the computer time, the video game time, all of a sudden the graph is filled and there's no time left. And that's what has really become challenging for Christians. And Jesus had some challenges. They weren't media related, but they were people related. You know, there were people that who wouldn't want to be around Jesus. And if there are crowds around him all the time, they would want to find every little spare moment of time to try to get an audience with Jesus. And it says that Jesus would often slip away privately to pray. He would go and he would find ways to slip away. And there's a lot that he taught about prayer. you know, going in, he talked about a prayer closet, going into finding a place, a secret place, where you kind of just close yourself off of all the distractions and you pray. So I would agree with the person who wrote in about this, that we're all negligent in prayer. We all fall very, very short. I fall very, very short in prayer. So you can never have too much prayer. And it's going to be a continual battle to try to carve out that time. Now, I do believe that we should be praying throughout the day. We should constantly be turning our hearts to the Lord. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Some people believe that means that somehow you have to learn how to pray, you know, with every breath and every moment. I'm not certain that that's exactly what that verse is saying. I think that praying without ceasing is that you have a habit that continues of going to the Lord in prayer. But certainly I do believe that we can be seeking the Lord in little ways here and there throughout the day, meditating on His Word, offering up quick prayers of thanksgiving or petitions or confessions or whatever it may be, just praises to Him, you know, throughout the day. And that's what a relationship looks like. You know, I don't schedule, you know, just a half hour with my wife every day. It's like, okay, we got a half hour and we're going to talk during this half hour. And the rest of the day, I'm not going to say anything to you. We're going to talk throughout the day. But certainly it's very special when, like last night, I took my wife out on a date. You know, we had a date night and I took her out to dinner. We did some shopping together. We went out for coffee and we had a time that we carved out just to spend time together. And we need to carve out that time with the Lord. And that's a spiritual discipline. And all the great men and women of God throughout history have learned that not only the difficulty of this, but the necessity of carving out that time. And everybody's going to be different, you know, but I love Psalm 5, where it says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice thou shalt hear in the morning." And so there's certainly something about getting the important things in first thing, you know, getting up in the morning. And so I try to make it a habit not only to spend time in the morning reading my Bible, but I also try to keep in the habit of carving out some time for prayer. And I think that even if it's, you know, ideally, it would be more time than less. But sometimes it helps just to carve out some time and start somewhere. So you can't say, well, I really wished I could pray an hour every morning, but I can't carve out an hour, so I won't pray at all. Well, then carve out a half hour and pray for that half hour. If you're having a hard time carving out that half hour, carve out 15 minutes, you know, and start there and let it build. But certainly if we considered our spiritual lives like a vehicle that needed fuel to run on, you know, we need to continually receive and we do receive just strength for the journey and just insight from the Lord as we pray. And I believe that one of the things that prayer does is it's acknowledging God, it's turning our hearts towards Him, but it also allows God to speak to us during that time and to direct us as we submit ourselves to Him. And there's something that He loves about His people praying, because there's so much in the Scriptures that encourage us to do so, to be praying on a regular basis. And in this digital age, once again, it's let me say this too, prayer, I think, has been a struggle for Christians in all ages. So I don't think this is a new struggle. I don't think it's a new struggle to carve out time for prayer. So if we already have that existing struggle to pray, now add to that all the digital distractions, and we are faced with an unprecedented circumstances in the Christian life today that has never been encountered before. And so we're really, in some ways, need to be spiritual trailblazers to say we're gonna demonstrate that we can have these spiritual disciplines in our life. We can pursue the Lord, and we can put these devices into their proper place and use them as the helpful tools that they can be, but not let them control our lives to the point. And I struggle with this on a daily basis. So I struggle with not praying as much as I really want to and ought to. And really, it's come to the point of it has nothing, it's not so much in my life as ought to, it's I want to. You know, it's a desire. I really want to spend more time with the Lord. But I find myself many times being pulled in this direction and that direction, and making choices, and not always the best choices. So it's a growing relationship. Thankfully, God is so gracious. He's so kind. And I really bank on that on a day-to-day basis, that if we blow it today, we don't give up. Tomorrow's a new day. Mm-hmm. And it says that His mercies are new every morning. And so we should take advantage of that. So once again, great question about prayer. I do agree with all the comments that were kind of embedded in that as well. And I do want to encourage us to pray. So let's do that. We've not done this generally in podcasts, but I'm just going to say a prayer for our listeners here. So Heavenly Father, we thank You for those who have an interest in these things, and those that are listening to this podcast even now. And God, I pray that You would strengthen them and encourage them to seek You with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, we're all struggling with some of these distractions and things that are keeping us from the most important things in life. And I pray that You would help me, and You would help those who are listening, Lord, that we would take steps each day to seek You and to pursue You, and to set aside and turn things off, and make sure that we are being disciplined in our lives, so that these things aren't taking control and becoming not just helpful devices, but actual vices, Lord, that are binding us from the most important things. Not only our relationship with You, but the relationship with others around us. So Lord, we just ask for Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you've been listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to ask, please send that to podcast@mediatalk101.org. Once again, send an email to podcast@mediatalk101.org. We'd love to hear from you. I want to encourage you also to visit mediatalk101.org for helpful articles and videos and other resources that can be helpful to you. And join us next week as we continue this summer's theme of questions and answers.